Mental Health Monday
on Radio City Talk
with Mick Coyle.
Tackling the stigma.
Radio City Talk.
And welcome to another edition of Mental Health Monday with me, Mick Coyle. I do hope you're well. And we've got a parliamentary special because we've had a really big week this week. This week saw the Where's Your Head At mental health campaign go to the House of Commons, the Houses of Parliament, following on from a petition which was signed by more than 208,000 people. Now, the petition was set up by the Bauer Media Group, of which Radio City Talk is part, and was working alongside various people, including the mental health campaigner Natasha Devon. As part of that, the campaign was all about making sure there is a mental health first aider at everybody's workplace for the government to actually make it law. And we waited and we waited and people signed and signed, and eventually we got beyond the 100,000. We then had to wait to actually get the debate to take place within the corridors of power, within the Houses of Parliament. And I'm very pleased to say that within the last week, that debate has taken place. Now, the debate itself called for the government to commit to updating the Health and Safety at Work Act to ensure that businesses have the same obligation to provide mental health first aiders as they do medical first aiders. There was a million and one things to talk about in between, and a million and different one reasons why people are supporting this one. First up, let's hear from Natasha Devon speaking before the debate about why this was so key to get off the ground and get into the corridors of power.
So at the moment in the Health and Safety Act, there is an obligation on employers to satisfy themselves that at any time, if there was a medical emergency, so say someone fainted or even if they cut their finger or something like that, there's someone on site who knows the appropriate protocol to follow. We want to make it law that for every medical first aider, there would also have to be a mental health first aider. And that person would know the protocol if, for example, one of your colleagues had a panic attack or they became overwhelmed with stress, they were suicidal. It teaches you what to say, what not to say, and then what's appropriate to recommend in terms of further care and support. And the reason that's so important is because what the evidence shows is if you're struggling with your mental health, that first conversation that you have with someone is pivotal in terms of your ongoing recovery. So if you get a compassionate response, somebody who doesn't judge you and says the right things, you're more likely to then be set on a path where you get early help. And we know that the earlier you get treatment, the easier it is to manage your mental health problems.
So that's Natasha Devon speaking before the debate. Now, when you've got all these signatures on a petition, you still need an MP to go, you know what, I'll take this to the corridors of power, I'll take this into Westminster, and I'll champion this debate. We were lucky to have a number of MPs supporting it. First up, Liverpool MP Luciana Berger, who's been right on it right from the start. She's been explaining why she was so keen to support this campaign.
We are on a journey as a country to achieving real equality for mental health alongside physical health. We're not quite there yet, but we've seen so much progress, and I really want to see that, what's called parity, that parity of esteem, that equality for mental health. In my view, it's very clear that that should happen in the workplace, where if you fall over, if you cut yourself, you know where to go to, you've got a physical health first aider. There are already a number of employers, both big and small, that have already invested in ensuring that they have mental health first aiders in the workplace, but that is not in all workplaces. And for me, it's very clear that we need to be doing so much more in our communities, in our places of education, and in our workplaces too, to really be challenging and to be dealing with mental health in a way that we haven't yet done already or isn't available in all places. We know it could make a massive difference for people to come forward, to know that there's someone who has a bit of training and that is approachable, that can signpost employees and staff to the right professional and clinical services. We know that it could make a massive difference, and there are already examples across the country of where people have received that training that have been able to support someone that's experiencing very serious things like suicidal ideation. They might be considering taking their own life, and on that basis, that's where it could really do a very important thing and save a life.
So that's Luciana Berger speaking ahead of the event itself. Now, we've been supporting this here at Radio City Talk through Mental Health Monday ever since it was first sort of mooted as an idea. We've been working with a whole host of radio stations right around the country, some national stations as well, including Absolute Radio, Magic, Kiss FM, Empire and Grazia magazine, and Heat magazine as well, who are some of the brands that fall under that Bauer Media category. So this went before Parliament Thursday just gone, and we can bring you now coverage, part of that lengthy debate about why this could be put forward, why this idea is a good idea, and the difference that it could make. And we can bring you that debate right now on Mental Health Monday. Let's take a listen.
But the debate today is a true cross-party initiative calling on the government to make a small change to the law that, if they support, would constitute a step towards establishing parity of esteem, real equality between physical and mental health. There are many different ways in which this could be implemented. I myself have attended mental health first aid training on the site of where the workplace exists. So there are different ways in which this could be taken forward. I certainly wouldn't be adverse to employers giving their staff time off for that training. And there are certainly many examples, which I will come to in my later remarks, which show where that is already the case for a number of particularly large employers across our country. The debate that we're discussing today is born out of the Where's Your Head At campaign, and it was launched by campaigner Natasha Devon and supported by Mental Health First Aid England and Bauer Media, which has together collected over 200,000 names to a petition which a number of us delivered to 10 Downing Street. And I must take this opportunity to commend them for all their hard work to take up this point. I pay tribute to their commitment, their determination to see this positive change introduced. It really is admirable. In particular, Bauer Media, which is an organisation that has radio stations, it has a number of magazines like Grazia, for example, they've really, really taken this forward. They've paid for billboards across our country to promote this campaign, and I commend their social action on this point, which they know as an employer would also make a difference in their workplaces. This really would be a simple shift, but with such a huge beneficial impact on the lives of millions of British workers. I don't think anyone can seriously contend that there isn't the need for such a measure. And we only have to look at just some of the statistics. NHS Digital suggests that 1 in 6 adults experience mental ill health, including depression, anxiety and stress-related illnesses. There are around 28 million people in work in our country, so it's not unreasonable to assume that there are 5 million people in work today who would be affected. A recent poll suggests that 38% of people reported being stressed about work, and it is a tragedy that, according to the Stevenson Farmer Thriving at Work report, that was a review commissioned by the government, published just over a year ago, that there are 300,000 people with a long-term mental health condition who are losing their jobs every single year. Let's be very clear that we are talking about a huge number of people affected in our country every single day. It's our friends, it's our colleagues, and it's our workmates that surround us. And there is, of course, a huge economic cost, as well as that very significant human cost. The Centre for Mental Health estimates that people staying at work longer than they should because of mental health conditions costs our economy over £15 billion every single year, and that people being absent from work because of mental ill health costs our economy £8 billion a year. These are not insignificant sums. And again, I just reiterate that fact that 300,000 people with a long-term mental health condition who are losing their jobs every single year because they find themselves in an acute state, they have to leave work, they're not supported, and they've got to a point where they are in a critical state rather than having seen early intervention or actually prevention, which might have helped them in the first place.
As everybody knows now, I have had OCD for a long time. Obviously now I like to pretend it's some sort of distant memory, but my close friends and family know that it's not. It is much better. But if I look back to when I was a boy and when I was growing up and going into the military and so on, if there was mental health first aid, there is no doubt about it, my life would have been completely changed. That sort of early intervention, that ability to intervene upstream when you're so much more likely to get better, you cannot underestimate how important that is. The afternoon where that, I'll never forget a sort of Saturday afternoon where you end up in the Maudsley and you think, how did I end up here? How did this all start? And actually you think, if policies like this, if this thing had been talked about 20 years ago, millions of lives would have been very, very different. And I talk about it really because there's a really powerful message about this too, in that you can get better. People think with mental health that you know, you're sort of managing it for the rest of your life, but you kind of reach your zenith, and that is it. And I cannot overestimate how wrong that is. Clearly, managing a mental health challenge is a difficulty, but it can absolutely be done. And the chances of doing that are just exponentially increases by that early intervention. And that, you know, so if we can get into these workplaces and say to people, we take physical health as strongly as we do mental health, you are going to affect millions of lives, which is ultimately what we come to this place every week to do. Finally, again, I just pay tribute to my honourable friends opposite who've done a lot of the heavy lifting on here. And I know, you know, it's been touched upon that there aren't sort of many people here today, but in some ways that doesn't matter. Because actually there will be people who have been following this intensely because they have a mental health challenge. You know, they may be 15, 16, 17 young boys like I was at the time, who never talk about it, who sort of learn about what's going on through their phone, but they don't even talk to their parents. When I spoke about my OCD in the Evening Standard, I had loads of phone calls the next day, but the best one was from a boy who was 16 who said he'd never spoken to his parents about it, he'd never spoken to anyone about it at all. There will be a lot of people watching this today for whom, you know, when it was cancelled before Christmas, they would have been devastated, and they are the people we are here for. And that's why people like me speak out. You know, it's not easy to speak about individual issues in this house. But I would just say to younger boys and girls who are watching this now, or who you know, may be struggling, or whatever it be, it may be, don't think for a minute that because there's not lots of people here, or there's not all the raucous shouting that you've seen over the last few days, that this is in any way less important to many of us in this place than what's been going on. Just because you're quieter doesn't mean that we don't hear you. There is a mental health revolution going on in this country. We've seen it started. People are talking about it. The government's committed to parity of esteem. We're flicking over from meeting the unmet need. So we're meeting sort of one in four mental health needs at the moment. We're flicking over to one in three. Clearly, there is a big unmet need, and we have further to go.
Think of it this way. A business in the community publication, Mental Health at Work, found that 15% of employees face dismissal, demotion or disciplinary action after disclosing a mental health issue at work. This could mean that this reality currently applies to some 1.2 million people of working age in the UK. And this could also, they also told us that just 11% of employees felt able to disclose mental health issues to their line manager. These figures are truly appalling, so things have to change.
Interestingly, OCD has affected my family as well. Our oldest son was diagnosed with OCD as a teenager, and he's since spoken himself about his experience, and I speak with his authority and approval. But what he said about the importance of people in his position speaking out about these conditions is so important. I remember the moment when, as a teenager, Archie said to me, "Why am I the only person who's going mad?" And for a parent to hear that from their child is awful and incredibly distressing. But it makes you realise what a teenager must be going through if that's how they feel about their own situation. And of course, it's entirely false perspective, because you then realise that so many others are experiencing their own challenges, and when that realisation dawns, it makes it so much easier for those individuals to speak out. So thank you, the Honourable Member, for saying so and for talking to the press about it, because it does cumulatively make a difference, and the Time to Change campaign has been, I think, incredibly powerful in helping to normalise mental ill health. And I always think that every time someone speaks out about it, people in a public position, it makes it just that little bit easier for another teenager to seek help and not to just be frightened about opening up about it. I wanted to also join with the Honourable Member for Liverpool Wavertree in acknowledging the work of Natasha Devon, a great campaigner for mental health, but also to thank Bauer Media and indeed Mental Health First Aid England for championing this important cause. Health and Safety Executive data shows that 57% of days off work through ill health is because of mental ill health of one sort or another. 57%. And so not to confront this effectively represents an enormous cost to employers. And it's not just time off work. It's the fact that very many people end up falling out of work and onto benefits, but also the fact that so many people turn up to work but underperform, this concept of presenteeism, because they are not feeling on top of their game, because they are obsessed by anxieties or concerns which prevent them from performing their work responsibilities in an effective way. So there is really a win-win-win for everybody. It's not just the individual, it's the employer, but also the government, who gains as a result of us taking this more seriously. If you fall out of work because of mental ill health, you end up claiming benefits. It's an enormous cost to the government. And indeed, there is an impact on the NHS as well. So everybody benefits by us taking this more seriously.
That's just some of the highlights from the debate which took place within the corridors of power. The Where's Your Head At campaign from Bauer Media, Natasha Devon and Luciana Berger, the MP. We heard from her, Norman Lamb, Johnny Mercer and also John Crudus. Listening to the whole thing was the Parliamentary Undersecretary of State for Mental Health and Suicide Prevention. And the first time I think we've heard her voice on the programme, Jackie Doyle-Price. She was listening to all those different points that were made by MPs that we brought you before. Here's her response coming from the House of Commons.
I'd like to thank all contributors to this debate today, which has been marked by a lot of enthusiasm and passionate advocacy in support of improved mental health. I particularly obviously like to pay tribute to the Honourable Member for Liverpool Wavertree, the Honourable Member for North Norfolk and my Honourable friend the Member for Plymouth Moorview for securing this debate and again bringing their characteristic ambitious agendas to play, I suppose, and their well-informed and passionate advocacy on this behalf. Standing as I do, it is quite often challenging responding to all three Honourable Members, but on this occasion I've really enjoyed listening to their contributions and agreed with much of what's been said. And I think, you know, we are all sharing the same objective here, which is to secure support as early as it can for people who are suffering mental ill health, and more specifically to enable more people with mental health to stay in work, because it's good for their health as long as it's good work, well supported, but it's also, you know, good for the economy that more people are encouraged to work. And the Honourable Lady, the Member for Liverpool Wavertree, perhaps illustrates it most starkly by the figures she referred to with regard to those receiving care from Merseycare, which really brings into stark relief exactly the size of the challenge. The fact that only 3% of those patients are in work is something that perhaps we should all reflect on, and really does underline the importance of making sure that we get better at supporting and encouraging people into work if they're suffering mental health challenges. I'm very pleased also to be joined on the front bench by my honourable friend, the Minister for Disabilities. She's also responsible for the Health and Safety Executive, which has obviously got a big role to play in this agenda, and she's been listening very carefully to all members' contributions. She and I are united in an objective to make sure that we keep more people with all kinds of disability in work and get them, those that are currently excluded from the workforce, into it too. And we have a wide package of measures that we're taking forward in that regard, some of which have been referred to today. So to reiterate, the government is committed to building a country that works for everyone, and that must include that disabled people and people with mental health conditions can go as far as their talents can take them. We do know that too many people with a mental health condition are not able to do that, and that is a burning injustice that must be tackled. We know, as the Honourable Gentleman, the Member for North Norfolk, pointed out, those people unemployed for more than 12 weeks are between 4 and 10 times more likely to suffer from depression and anxiety, which just, you're just looking at that particular statistic, illustrates why it's good for society as well as good for the individual that we do tackle that. And the good news is that staying in or returning to work after a period of mental health really does aid mental health recovery. So it really does make perfect sense. A number of points were raised by honourable members throughout the course of the debate. On the issue of mental health first aid in schools, I can advise the honourable member for Wakefield, who's not in her place, that the government has a commitment to ensuring that at least one member of staff in each primary and secondary school does receive mental health first aid. And currently we've reached 1,537 schools with that. So just to put it in context, the Prime Minister has, of course, set out an ambitious set of reforms to improve mental health. We've heard reference made to Parity FSD, and I'd just like to reiterate to all members of the House, the fact that Parity FSD is written into legislation is not the end, it is just the start. The truth is that in delivering true Parity FSD, we have to manage a programme of behavioural change throughout our services and indeed throughout society. And frankly, I don't think any of us should ever be complacent about when or not we've achieved that. That this is something that is going to take a lot of time. What's great is to see just how much energy is being applied to it. And we've heard a number of references to time to change, and it is very clear that cultural transformation in society has been massively aided by time to change, and that destigmatisation is really helping to deliver. But nonetheless, we of course have a big role to play in terms of service provision. We are creating 21,000 new posts in the mental health workforce. We're implementing the first waiting time ambitions for mental health so that people have access faster to the care they need. We've just recently published the review of our mental health legislation, which is for the first time for a number of years. And of course, we are massively improving early intervention by investing in more services within schools.
Yeah.
So that's we are, of course, investing more through the 10-year plan. The Prime Minister announced that the budget would grow by over £20 billion for the NHS. And in terms of the NHS long-term plan, which was published last week, the NHS confirmed there'll be a comprehensive expansion of mental health services with an additional £2.3 billion in real terms by 2023-24. And the ambition is that will give 380,000 more adults access to psychological therapies and 345,000 more children and young people greater support in the next 5 years. So we're ambitious, and I'm not going to pretend that by putting Parity FSD into law, we've suddenly achieved it. This is a journey that we've got to do in terms of how we commission services, how we deliver them, and, of course, how we, across society, behave.
There you go. That's Jackie Doyle-Price, the Minister for Mental Health and Suicide Prevention, speaking to respond to the debate which was raised in the Houses of Parliament and the corridors of power from the Where's Your Head At campaign. Let's leave the final word with Luciana Berger, the MP who opened the debate. She also got the opportunity to close it too.
I would like to thank and put on record my gratitude to colleagues who have joined us and made contributions this afternoon. I appreciate that we are one incredibly busy with proceedings with regard to Brexit, so I'm most grateful to everyone who's made the time to be here today for this important debate and to other colleagues who have made interventions. I hope that what I made clear in my speech and from the very personal, passionate and informed speeches that we've heard from members across the House, that they have made clear too, that there really is a robust moral, social and economic case for this change to the law that would give employers a legal obligation to make provision for employees to be trained in mental health first aid, as well as what they already have to do for physical health first aid. And I think that's the crux of the issue that we're discussing today. If we expect and require businesses and employees, including in the public sector and in the charitable sector, with employees of 25 or over, to train at least one person in physical health first aid, then if we are serious about the principle of equality for mental health, then that should equally extend to mental health first aid. Now, I appreciate having listened very closely to the remarks and representations that you've heard, that it should not be a tick box exercise. It's not going to fix the many challenges that many colleagues have raised about the issues within some of the provisions of mental health services. It by no means is a replacement for clinical professionals who do a very important job. It's an addition, and it's by no means the only thing that we should see in our workplaces. And I listened carefully to the Minister when she talked about there should be a holistic culture of wellbeing that we should see in our workplaces. Of course that should be the case, but that is not in isolation of having this particular provision as well. Myself, along with the Right Honourable Member for North Norfolk, the Honourable Member for Plymouth Moorview, and just under 210,000 signatories to the Where's Your Head At petition, are asking the government to enact this legislative change to expand that legal responsibility of employers to make provision to train employees in physical first aid, along with what they are expected to do, for mental health first aid, as they do for physical first aid, and to make that positive and decisive step to ensuring parity of esteem. Parity of esteem was a principle. It was enshrined in law 7 years ago into the Health and Social Care Act. If we are serious about equality between physical and mental health in this country, I mean, forgive us for, I don't think you can call us impatient. It was 7 years ago that principle was put into law. I and many others see this as one step, not the only step. Of course, it should be as one of the six principles put forward in the Thrive at Work review, which was a really important piece of work, which was published now well over 1 year and 3 months ago. This is just one step in that suite of tools at businesses and organisations' disposal to make that difference. And I just asked the Minister, and I listened carefully to what she said, it was a manifesto commitment of her party to bring forward this change. And I just asked her, I listened carefully to what she said, she obviously hasn't made that commitment here today, but going forward it is one thing that could make a difference, and I urge her to do that in the near future.
There you go, that's Luciana Berger wrapping up that debate. So you're up to speed with exactly everything that went on within the House of Commons and the Houses of Parliament. If you want to find out more about the Where's Your Head At campaign, wheresyourheadat.org is the website. You can contact your MP via there. There's the open letter to the Prime Minister and a bit more about the campaign and the difference that it might make to you. If not you, it might be one of your colleagues, it might be one of your kids, might be one of your parents. The Where's Your Head At campaign will continue to bring you coverage. Mental Health Monday is back next week with episode 99.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
On Radio City Talk.